Socially acceptable sins. That's our topic again today on Life Talks as we continue our series on those sins that we commit, but we're okay with them.
I mean, come on. Is it really that big a deal?
I mean, I know so many worse sins. Well, today we're going to talk about the grandfather of all sins.
Oh, that's so true.
And this is the one that's so subtle because it creeps in and entangles you, and the next thing you know, you're suffocating with it.
Yeah.
It's the sin of pride. And so it's sometimes called the original sin. It is the sin that separated Satan from God. It's the sin that has damned an entire creative race. And so as we look at this today, Ben, pride, everybody's got to admit, we struggle with it sometimes.
All of us struggle with pride. It probably is the most pronounced sin. I think it was C.S. Lewis that said pride is at the root of all sins. And like you said, it was the first sin. The first sin ever committed was pride, because if you think about, Satan had to fall before humanity fell. And we know from, I believe these are the right passages. If you read Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, those are the two passages that kind of, they share a description of certain earthly kings and what they did to fall. But typically, most people say, well, those can be parallel passages to view how Satan fell. And one of the things that we know about those passages is that Satan wanted to ascend to the Most High. He was a cherub, and so he was one of the great—
He was a cherub?
He was one of the cherubs, yeah. And so— Archangels.
Okay. I'm thinking cherubs, a little fat babies.
But he— I'm opened up a can of worms on demonology, because there are some people that still think that, but I won't go into that. That's Michael Heiser stuff. Anyways,
oh, we gotta come back.
Just put that in the corner and pretend I didn't say anything.
No. I'm putting a really bookmark interesting. In that. I'm putting a bookmark there.
When you think of cherub, typically you think of the fat, chunky babies with wings. Anyways.
But demons? Is that what you're saying?
Move on from what I just said. But it says
so
that it
right
says
now.
That Satan wanted to ascend to the Most High, which means he wanted the position of God. That's pride. Pride says, I deserve more. I deserve more praise. I deserve more attention. I deserve more love. I deserve what I want because I am somehow worthy of this. And so what did Satan tempt Adam and Eve with? If you eat of this fruit, you will be like God. It's a pure appeal to the pride of humanity. And so to me, it's like, yeah, this is really at the root. This is the thing that gets to every single human heart that says, if you want to sin, if you want to get to rebel against God, if you pull that cord to the heart, what the heart's desire is, I want this for me. I want this for myself. This will lead to more glory. This will lead to more whatever. And so, yeah, pride is at the root. It's the first sin that was ever committed, and it's the greatest sin ever committed. So, yeah, pride's a big deal, man.
So why is it socially acceptable?
You know, I think we lived in a day when it wasn't. You know, I think there was, over time, it has become something where I kind of picked this up. I did something really horrible. I Googled modern songs that talk about pride, because I hear songs about like, I'm the greatest ever, or it's all about me. Yeah. And I can't think of the actual songs, but I've
Everything
heard
by Kanye just like
There's like half of all rap songs are like
I am the best.
I'm the best. I'm the man, whatever it is. But I Googled the 100 most popular songs that deal with pride, and I got pride songs, which pride songs are very different
than songs about pride.
It's songs about pride. I should have,
This is a PSA for Christians on what not to Google. You might not have known this.
This is such a—
You know what the number one song of all time, though, would be?
What?
Carly Simon. Even I know this, and I'm not a good music person.
What?
You're so vain.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean—
It has to be.
I mean, if you're
an insulting, you're so prideful.
But think about those words that we've used to describe pride: vanity or arrogance, narcissism. These are all words that are rooted in, here's a person who thinks And again, I'm going to get a little crass here. Their crap don't stink. Okay? like we have these sayings. We have these sayings that the vernacular.
Yeah.
And there are times when I think 200 years ago, I mean, obviously pride was around. But I viewed it. I think most people viewed it as, oh, this was vanity was something that was looked down upon. I think we valued humility. We valued temperance. We valued these people that were not in it for themselves. I even think how you, when you look at our founding fathers, almost all of them, at least the first, I would say the first few prior to Andrew Jackson, they had to be convinced to run for president.
Yeah,
they really didn't mm-hmm. want to. It was kind of like, man, I want to serve my country, but if you really think it's best, then I'll do it. I mean, now it's just this giant ego trip. Mm-hmm. Everyone running for president. I don't care mm-hmm. if you're the right or the left. It's all about them. It's all about their ego. It's all about. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of us could look at the both leading candidates right now, Biden and Trump, and I think both we could say is what would be better for the country is these two guys did not run.
Right.
Disappear. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I think if people were honest, there's not many good things that can happen with both of these guys running for president.
Yeah.
And again, you can send your emails to me. I don't really care. But I do think that it's this giant ego boost that's just, I want to have the power. I want to have the authority. I want to have the attention. And so running for president is just, it's there for because people want that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, pride is just this elevated thing now that to me has taken over our culture.
Yeah. I think what you said earlier too is so important for us to remember. It's the taproot of all kinds of sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that tree I always look at every year. You do get that gardening catalog where they've got all the trees. It's like getting the Christmas catalog.
Yeah, absolutely.
Back in the olden days. But there's one tree that has like 12 different kinds of fruit on it. Mm. I've always wanted to get one of those, but I don't think they're real or they really work because nobody has one, but they're always for sale. But this really does bear all kinds of fruit.
Oh. Absolutely.
All kinds of fruit in our life.
Yes,
it corrodes relationships. Mm-hmm. It eats away at our self worth. It eats mm-hmm. away at our satisfaction. And our failure to deal with pride damns us for a lot of other problems further down the road.
Yes, I think it is. It's always listed in these sins that. You know, for example, 1 John 2:16, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's very rootish, and which leads to all these other things. Like you can boil all those sins down to those three categories. Or Jesus talks about this in Mark 7, that the evil things that come from within that defile a person. He talks about pride. It's on that list of things. So yeah, it is the taproot of almost all sins I think we can create. So it's pronounced and it's there. And if you are not aware of it, you're going to be in trouble. Because here's the other thing. All of us, every single one of us can see pride in another person.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think I can't remember the Bible verse, but it talks about pride being a necklace. And I love that analogy because I think the reason why it's called a necklace is because I can see your necklace, but you can't. Yeah, I can't.
You can't.
You. It's hard for you to see your own necklace, right? But I can see it. I can see your necklace, and you can see my necklace. We are so. It's so easy to point out the pride of other people mm-hmm. when you come into contact with them. You're like, dude, that guy is so arrogant,
mm-hmm.
and they have no clue. Like they have no. Mm-hmm. Have you ever met someone that, mm-hmm. and you're like, mm-hmm. how you come across mm-hmm. is so obnoxious, mm-hmm. and you don't even get it.
Yeah.
And we could all name names right now because of what our experience is with people.
Yeah.
And that's the scariest part is that pride is the one sin that you can probably be the most ignorant of because you can mm-hmm. you can justify, well, no, what I really want is something good. No, what you really want is something good for you.
Hmm. Good point.
Right?
So then how do you find out if you have a pride
problem? Oh, yeah. That's the million-dollar question, you know? So
Well, and it goes back to self-awareness. We have to – that's why the doctrine of total depravity is an important one because it starts with a confrontation.
Yeah.
You think you're good. You think you're hot. You think you're smart. You think you're whatever. No, what you are is a sinner in need of a savior, yeah. Which brings me back to the thing on pride is the worst thing about pride is not that it puts other people off or that it, you know, the worst thing about pride is it is a barrier between you and repentance.
That's right.
It's a barrier between you and salvation.
I'm so glad you said that.
Because
yes.
If we don't deal with the pride issue, we don't need a savior.
100%.
Or we won't admit we're a sinner.
Yes.
And these
yes.
are core to the doctrine of salvation.
Yes. Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head that there is it's the number one sin that keeps people from saying, I need a savior. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so dangerous and so deadly. And really, the Bible is very clear about what God thinks about this sin. He says, I mean, twice, and there's the seven sins that God hates that are in, I think it's Proverbs chapter 4, where he talks about them. And he talks about, you know, people who are proud, mm-hmm. right? The pride is mentioned twice, and they're haughty eyes, and I think something else. But then James chapter 4, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. God will oppose you. God will actually work against you in your life if you're proud. He says this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where God says, I led you through the wilderness for 40 years. Why? To humble you so that you would know that man does not live by bread alone. There's this idea that God is going to do something in your life to humble you. If he loves you, mm-hmm. right? If God loves you, he will work in your life to humble you so that you turn to him and say, God, I need you. I cannot do this on my own. I can't lead on my own. I can't save myself. I can't, you know, do anything. When Jesus said in John 17 that abide in me, or John 15, abide in me, for apart from me, you can do nothing. That is one of the greatest statements of dependency ever uttered in Scripture. But most of us don't really believe Jesus was serious about that. It's like, you can do nothing apart from me? Yeah, nothing. Yeah. That's the kind of dependency that we need to have on God. And if God loves you enough, he will put you through a wilderness to show you, oh God, I need you. I mean, think about the things that, I mean, if the three of us, we could probably spend 3 episodes talking about how God's humbled us in life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, at mm-hmm. least 3 episodes.
Failures, yeah. mm-hmm. things, and you know, our children, our marriages, mm-hmm. just the experiences in life where it's like God shows us, exposes to us, that was pride. Mm-hmm. That was pride. That, and we know that if God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble, God knows that one of the reasons why he's trying to draw us close to him is because, like you said, Dan, this pride is a massive barrier for us to get close to God. And God has to humble us many times so that we recognize, God, I need you. And that's one of the most wonderful things that in our lives that all of us that testify to our humbling can also testify, God, thank you for that. Because yeah. I would be the arrogant jerk.
Yeah. Yes. You know what one of the worst people on the planet is? It's an old, proud person.
Yeah.
Let me explain why. Because pride is often a sin of the youth.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
We're cocky, we're arrogant. We haven't had, you know, our knees kicked. Yep. We haven't experienced that. But when you get to be elderly and you have the benefit of perspective and life experiences and you're still proud, wow.
Yeah.
And you can apply any political
yeah. huh.
principle to that you want
really
to.
Really interesting point.
But when someone gets up and says, I've never done anything that I've needed to repent of mm-hmm. or apologize for.
There's only one guy that would ever say that in public.
those kind of things ought to ring huge alarm bells yeah. off
yeah.
for us.
Yeah.
Because either there's a level of arrogance or a level of pride
yeah.
that prevents them from admitting it mm-hmm. or just a complete lack of self-awareness.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, biblically speaking, we ought to be attracted to humility rather
yes.
than pride.
Yes. I'll never forget. I was at I was in Bible college, and we would have two big kind of like conferences every year, one in the fall, one in the spring. And the fall one was Bible conference. It was just like you had 3 days off of school and preaching all day long. And we all loved it because it was a break from homework.
right.
We're like, just sit through the sermons, get through it. But the spring one was missions conference, where you had missionaries from all over the world, and they would come here and come to your school. And you know, it was just kind of one of these emphases that it was always really cool to have 3 days off where you learn these things. And they would sometimes have missionaries come into your dorms at night, and they would give like devotions. Huh. And I'll never forget this older man. I was probably 18, 19, 20 years old. I can't remember what year it was, but it was in my college years. And we had like a 72-year-old missionary come visit us. And I can't remember where he was from or where he served, but I remember him at the end of his talk. He was just this godly, humble man, just very, you could just sense it. Like, this man is close with Jesus. This man has been used greatly by God. And when the end, when some guys asked him, how can we pray for you? He said, pray that I would finish well and I would be faithful to my wife. Mm-hmm. And I just.
That's amazing.
I'm like, this guy, I was so impressed. I think all of us were so impressed that this man was not arrogant. He even at 70 some years old, he was like, I never want to take for granted my potential to fail and fall away from God.
Yeah.
And I need your prayers. Would you pray for me? Hmm. That left such an impression on me to say, you're never, like, the moment you get to, oh yeah, that's for
young
whippersnappers, you know,
yeah.
that sense of humility and dependence on God was such a profound impact. Because like you said, many times you don't see that. And that's the kind of man I want to be. Yeah. That's the kind of person I want to be, is I'm never at the point where I'm like, all right, God, I'll take it from here. Hmm. That leads to destruction, right? The Bible says pride comes before fall. Pride comes before destruction. And all it takes is for you to say, God, I'll take it from here. And I can tell you where that here is going to lead to. Hmm. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think those are all just phenomenal things to point out.
One of the bad things about pride is I think it erects its own barriers to its cure too.
Hmm.
You know, you mentioned, you know, how people sometimes respond to their own pride, but if somebody loves you enough or is honorary enough to look you in the eye and say, you're coming across a little cocky right now, you're being condescending.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I've had people tell me that.
Hmm.
And it, whether it's my exuberance in the moment or whether it is my, you know, confidence in what I'm saying or whatever, certainly I don't want to project that.
Right.
I need to listen to that feedback. Because if I'm trying to convince someone and they cannot hear my argument because of my arrogance, then what am I doing?
Yeah.
It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
And we need to be aware enough that sometimes our critics are also our friends.
Absolutely.
When someone looks you in the eye and says, hey, maybe you could phrase that a little kinder or more gently or quit sounding, you know, like you know it all or whatever, they're really doing us a favor because it's such a subtle sin. It is such a subtle attribute. And some people are simply more prone to it than others as well.
Yes.
And those of us, you know, whether you're a type A or a high D or, you know, a certain temperament or whatever, particularly for us, we have to be aware of it.
Yeah.
You notice I'm saying us here.
Oh, absolutely. Because,
not you and me, but me.
All of us. So in the remaining minutes, I have a couple things, suggestions on how to work on this sin. The first one is ask God to show you where pride exists. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of my prayers that I pray consistently is, God, help me to humble myself so that you don't have to humble me. You know, so many Bible verses, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Let God be the one who lifts you up. And if you think that you deserve to be lifted up and he hasn't lifted you up, it means you got pride. Mm-hmm. If you think I deserve a platform, or I deserve, you know, I've got so much to share with the world and why isn't God giving me the platform to do it? Well, it's because he's like, you're not ready for it. I will lift you up when it's time to lift you up. Mm-hmm. And so until that time, you better humble yourself. And I have learned when God humbles you, it's painful. Mm-hmm. It can be painful at times. It can be really like, ooh, that stings. Mm-hmm. And as much as we can look back later and say, oh, I needed that, it's so much better when I'm able to be aware of it, learn it, and myself through the Holy Spirit and humble myself. That is way better. So that would be the first one. Ask, invite God into it to show you. Because if God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, figure out a way to say, God, show me. Show me the path of humility and not the path of pride. The second thing is, you said it, ask for feedback. Mm-hmm. Have a teachable spirit to say, I don't know it all. Mm-hmm. I've been preaching for 20 plus years. I appreciate feedback. I've not arrived at as a communicator. I'm not these people, and I don't care how many people come and say, oh, that was such a wonderful sermon. Like, I know I can get better. Yeah. I can always get better as a leader, as a communicator, as a parent, as a husband. I can always grow. Always. One of the mottos of my life is always learning, always growing. The moment you think you've arrived, is the moment that you will fall into temptation. And so ask for feedback from people. What did you see that I need to see? I always love my wife. So I love her so much, but one of the things that she does is she always gives me honest feedback for things. And I remember I preached a sermon not too long ago, and I said, what do you think of that sermon? Because I was like, and again, I want her honest feedback. What went well, what didn't go well? And she just has this ability to cut through a lot of things. And one thing she said to me was, and she was gracious and gentle about it, but she said, you know what? I came across like that was a sermon that it was knowledge to you, but it wasn't from your heart.
Mm.
And she's probably the only one that could pick up on that. And she was exactly right. It was one of those weeks where I put together a sermon, and I think it was a biblically faithful sermon, but I had not allowed that sermon to have the time to really soak in it personally and mentally and emotionally and spiritually for my heart to say, oh yes, this is good for me. Hmm. And it was simply I was simply a funnel and not a cup. I had not allowed the word of God to fill my cup up, the cup of my heart, and pour it from my heart. I was simply a funnel from the word of God to people. And as a communicator, you got to be very careful of that. And so to me, that was like, I could have said, well, I heard 5 good comments about that. So shut up. I could have said that.
Yeah.
Or I could have said, you know what? You're right. And because of that, I need to be aware of that for myself. Right?
Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Yes.
All right. I want to ask one clarification question.
Yeah.
So my dad used to make a joke that I think is a common, is an example of the way that Christians often think about pride, which was once I wrote the book Humility and How I Attained It. Yeah. Right? There's all these versions of these jokes, right? They're like, as soon as you say you're humbled, you've proved that you are actually prideful. And I don't think I agree with that. I would love to hear, especially as a therapist, hear you talk a little bit about the difference between like narcissism and pride, and like being able to be humble and have an accurate view of your own. So I've gone through major pride phases. I was on worship teams when I was 11. So everyone told me how good I was, and I believed them. I was so super arrogant. No teenager should be on a worship team at 11 years old. They're stupid. But I've gone through a really embarrassing phase where like that's like I hate the arrogance that I remember having.
Yeah.
My therapist and wife would both say that this is one of the few sins that I don't struggle with. And yet it took me a while to be able to actually feel like it's okay for me to try to accurately assess what is it that I can do well on a piano? What can I not do well on a piano?
Yeah.
Like things like that. So I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about how to distinguish between those
two.
So
I think that's a great question. That kind of opens up another can of worms. And we'll try to nip this in the bud in about 5 minutes. But I think it honors God when you acknowledge the gifts he's given to you.
Mm.
Okay. So we're all going to do things that we do well because we're wired that way. You're a very gifted musician. Isn't Josh just an amazing musician? I mean, he's one of my favorite musicians.
Yeah. Thank you. But I also know how much better I could be because I'm always watching pro musicians on YouTube.
Anyways, I'm just doing
There's a huge delta between
I'm
me.
I'm doing this on purpose. The whole point is, when there are times when we are admired for what we do, we need to acknowledge and redirect the praise to God. Thank you. Mm. But at the same time, there are people that struggle with worth, with self-worth, that they almost view themselves—
A worm.
A worm, which again, I'll be honest with you, is actually another form of pride.
Huh.
It's actually another form of pride because
it can be inviting people to give you more and more and more.
It can be inviting. It's like, I am not worth. And so you have such low self-esteem that there's you become almost narcissistic in your own self-loathing.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds really weird, but it's both are internal. You're focusing totally in on yourself completely.
Yeah.
And one says, I'm worthy of more. And one says, I'm not worthy of anything, but you're still focused. So you're so consumed with yourself.
Yeah.
And so I think it's learning how to appreciate, and I think it's the word, appreciate gratitude of what God's given to you. Being honest about, I would be foolish to be like, oh, I'm just a horrible communicator. Like,
right.
I know that God's given me a gift and ability to communicate.
Right.
But that is a gift. I didn't get that from myself. That's not something that I'm like, I can look at myself and be like, look how great I am. This was purely something that God gave me. And therefore, if I use it for in any means that is in any goodness, praise God. It's his gift to me. So I'm thankful that God's given me a gift to communicate. I'm thankful that God's given you a gift for music. If I try to play the keyboard like you, I might be able to get to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, but I'm never going to become the musician you are. And I thank God that he's given us all gifts. Mm-hmm. We need to learn how to appreciate them and to value them in light of God's goodness to us. Yeah. I think that's really what we've got to do. That keeps that self-loathing and worthless feeling and the pride and the arrogance. It kind of keeps that in the proper balance of God's goodness.
That's helpful.
Good stuff. So today we've concluded this episode on pride in our series on socially acceptable sins. We hope you'll join us again as we continue this series in the days to come. Thank you so much, as always, for listening to us here at Life Talks. And God bless, and we'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to Life Talks. Be sure to hit the subscribe button so you never miss a new episode. Share this podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to let your friends and family know about Life Talks. We'd love to hear from you as well, so leave a comment and let us know your thoughts on this episode or any other topics we've discussed. Life Talks is a ministry of Life Fellowship in Cornelius, North Carolina. For more information on Life Talks or Life Fellowship, visit lifecharlotte.com, or you can find us on Facebook at Life Fellowship Charlotte.